So we're reading from John chapter 20, from 19 to 31, which is on page 1089 in the Church Bibles. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Let's pray. Lord, we pray tonight that we will each hear you speaking to us. It's not going to be the same that we hear for our neighbour, for those here, but it will be for us. In our personalities, in our experience, in our differences. Lord, speak to each of us because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Will said, "Happy Easter." Here we are, a week after the resurrection. What's it mean? What's it mean for you? What's it mean for me? What should it lead you to be? What should it lead you to do? We can see from the passage that for the disciples it meant meeting Jesus, didn't it? And as a result, fear was turned to joy, and suddenly faith actually became real. Faith became serious. It wasn't something that was involved at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning and 6 o'clock on a Sunday. It became real. It became serious. When I was training as a vicar, they used to put on these special weeks, and they put on one for mission and evangelism. And I don't know if anybody's read books by Michael Green. He was a famous evangelist. He was a vicar in Oxford. He was a very lively character. They invited him in to do this week. And after a couple of days, sat in one of the seminar rooms in the college, he suddenly said, "Look, this is not intellectual. This is rubbish. We've got to get out there and do it." And we were all persuaded to stand, I don't know quite what you call that area, outside the, well, it's new to me. What's the new shopping centre called in Oxford? Westgate. That area there, right, whatever you call that, that's where we were supposed to go. It was certainly well outside my comfort zone, well outside. I mean, he just expected us to go up to people and start telling them about Jesus, about the resurrection, about our faith. And then later in the week, we were all taken to Farringdon, and we were designated a particular street, and the idea was that we would go door knocking. And I got assigned a particular street, and I did one side of it, and somebody else did the other. Now, that somebody else has gone on to be a bishop. I'm not going to say his name. Well, I just faithfully went in and out of each of these houses, and I never saw him. I never saw him at all, apart from when he went in at the first gate. And I thought, so every time I came out and I looked around, I couldn't see him. He's cleared off. Here's me doing my bit. I'm going in and out. He's cleared off. When we got back, of course, I discovered he'd been invited into the very, very first house he got to, and they'd both become Christians, and he was there for the whole afternoon. He was and is a born evangelist. So, what the week showed me was that there I was, a potential vicar, and I was fearful of sharing my faith. Not a good thing to learn. We read in verse 19, don't we, that the disciples were in fear. Not surprising, I guess. They'd seen what had happened to Jesus. They thought, what's going to happen to us? And what confidence can we have in what Jesus had said and promised? I mean, it just seems amazing. All is changed, isn't it? All is changed. Jesus came and stood among them. All is changed from fear to overjoy when they meet Jesus risen. And he proves to them two things. Firstly, from verse 20, he proves to them the resurrection was true. It's real. He's here with them. He's here now with us. So firstly, he proved that resurrection was true. Secondly, in verse 21, he's basically saying that the kingdom of God has arrived. The peace long foretold and anticipated is here. It's possible. Peace, restoration with God, restoration with everything is now possible. Our despair at what we see around us, either on an individual basis or on a world basis, our despair can be turned to hope because of the resurrection, because Jesus had risen. Now that is mind-blowing. But there I was, being somewhat fearful of actually saying that to other people. Jesus goes on to say very, very famously and succinctly how it's possible that all this has happened. He says, firstly, God sent me into the world. That was stage one. Stage two, Jesus then sent the church into the world. As the Father has sent me, stage one, I'm sending you, stage two. At the heart of this, one commentator, which I found very helpful, said this. At the heart of this is a reflection of God's heart. Stage one and stage two are a reflection of God's heart. God's heart for each of us, and God's heart for his world. Jesus came and continues to come in and through us. And just on this occasion with the disciples, it's the same now. It's his authenticity, it's his authority, and it's his action. Jesus continues. He came and continues to come in and through us in his own authenticity, his own authority, and his own action. We're just going to look at those three headings. I have to keep up with Will with my alliteration of... Jesus' authenticity, verse 21, as the Father has sent me. Our sending out, our witness, our evangelism, whatever word you want to use, it's not a program or an event, is it? Alpha, Meet Monday, all the stuff that we do, Billy Graham, for those of you who are old enough, all of that is great. But our sending out and our witness, at the heart of that is a reflection of the heart of God. We don't feel able. We don't feel qualified. We feel fearful. Jesus says, you don't need to. Because people need to see not you and me, but they need to see Jesus. It's his authenticity in us. So think about the people that told you about Jesus. Those who you respected and listened to the most. Now, I think that most people would be saying it's their mates. Most people would say it wasn't Vickers. Am I right? Which is a sobering message. They didn't have a PhD in evangelism. They hadn't been to Vicar College for 3 years. But you saw in them God's heart. Am I right? I think I've spoken in a previous sermon about my youth leader. His name was Richard. And when I was going through some old papers and letters and stuff, there were loads and loads of letters that Richard wrote to me in my teens, after I was converted on one of his camps that he ran. I really was amazed at the number of letters that he'd faithfully written to me. Jesus' authenticity, verse 21, as the Father has sent me. Secondly, Jesus' authority. I'm sending you. Are we worried about people's reaction? Are we worried about the indifference that we're going to get? Are we worried about the opposition? Are we worried about the ridicule? Jesus is saying, it's not us, it's him. The opposition and indifference is to Jesus, not to us. At our house group a couple of weeks ago, we had a conversation just about this. And actually, our worry is usually unfounded. People are usually receptive, are they not? The problem usually is that it's our reticence and not their reaction. Jesus' authenticity, Jesus' authority, Jesus' action, verse 22. With that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. What's the proof of all of this? How are we able to move on? How are we able to trust in that authenticity and authority of Jesus? Because we've experienced the action of the Holy Spirit in and through us and others. As we give witness to Christ, forgiveness of sins is received or not received depending on the reaction of that witness to Jesus. And that is not us, That is the Holy Spirit. There was a guy in our church called Steve. And he was persuaded to come to church by his kids because his kids had met our school worker in their school. And Steve was a big personality, actually. But he would sit right at the back, and he was coming for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. And there was nothing special about our services. There was no evangelistic call. But just by sitting in church for 3 or 4 weeks, Steve was converted. He didn't want to be there. He was there because his kids had said, "Dad, you've got to come to church." And I was amazed. Shouldn't have been, but I was. He just sat there. We hadn't done anything special. He was converted and went on to preach in our church. Jesus' action, verse 23, in and through the Holy Spirit. And then if we move on in the passage, we see this applied to Thomas. Jesus' authenticity. Thomas sees and feels the marks in Jesus' hands and side, doesn't he? What have we been able to do to see Jesus' authenticity? Have a think about that for yourself. What is the equivalent for you of feeling the hands and the marks on his side? Jesus' authority. Thomas has his doubts met as Jesus appears into a locked room, as the scriptures tell us. Jesus' action. Thomas makes his declaration of faith. My Lord and my God. Everything changes on meeting Jesus, doesn't it? The disciples are afraid and they're turned to being overjoyed. Thomas is convinced on seeing Jesus. So going back to the question that I asked at the beginning, how has the resurrection changed you and how has it changed me? How is it changing you? How is it changing me? Can I say that those around me would see me being overjoyed in this week? Don't ask. Is the heart of God in evidence in you and I? That's what Jesus is talking about, isn't it? And it will be, as Jesus tells the disciples, when we don't get in the way with our fear, our stuff, and our expectations. Because that's the stuff that gets in the way, isn't it? We think it's down to us, and therefore we become fearful, we become reticent. It will be exactly as Jesus says, when we rely on his authority, his authenticity, his action through the Holy Spirit, and not us. There's that wonderful realization, isn't there, that we are all different in God's economy. I am never going to be like Michael Green. I invited him to come to our church years later. And the meeting, I think it was to start an alpha course. And the meeting started at 7:30 and we got there about, 7 o'clock. Do you know, he'd been round to every single person as they arrived. He knew everybody by the time we started. Extraordinary, extraordinary. there's that wonderful realization that we are all different in God's economy. All our differences are needed. We are not all like Michael Green. But our personalities, our experiences, our likes and our dislikes, all of those Jesus uses because we're being ourselves. And that's all he asks us to do. And in being ourselves, God's heart will be in evidence. Let's pray. Lord, here we are on a few days after the resurrection, and the disciples' fear was turned to joy. May, Lord, may we know that joy. Speak to each of us in our own situations, our own personalities, our own experience. As we see how it's your authenticity in us, it's your authority in us, it's your action in us through the Holy Spirit that is going to change hearts and lives and is going to change our world. Lord, what is it that you're calling each of us to be and to do? What is it that will take away fear and reluctance? What is it that will flow through us that people see your heart? Where is it that you're calling us to be and to do that? How is it that you're calling us to be and to do that? And God's people all said,